Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
All right, today's topic is breakthrough peace. Breakthrough peace. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like peace is one of the most underrated fruits of the Spirit. Like, I'll just be honest, I didn't grow up praying for peace. Like, it just seemed a little boring to me. You mean no conflict? No competition? No, just peace? And even heaven, eternal peace in heaven. I was just like, like that's all I saw. Like we're just going to be in heaven, just everything's going to be just, I'm like, I don't know about you, I like a little excitement in my life. Be careful, right? And it's interesting because I should have been asking for peace all my life. I mean, there are few things that I want more now in my life than peace. I want peace on earth. I want peace at work. I want peace in the church. I want peace at home. I want peace in my heart, in my marriage, in my mind. I mean, I sometimes I just want a piece of peace. Yeah. Lord, just give me a little peace. I'll be fine. It don't have to be the whole thing. Just give me a piece of peace. Now, I've learned that the things that steal our peace are really ambitious. Things like worry and anxiety and stress and depression and despair, fear and frustration and anger. I'm telling you, these things are relentless. They will not stop until they consume us and completely take over our hearts, our minds, our souls. And I think sometimes we underestimate the effects, the negative effects that anxiety and worry have on our lives. And I don't have time to go into the physical effects. Next week we have a medical day, and so we'll be dealing with some of the physical things. But, you know, I know that our spiritual lives are interconnected with every single part of our lives, mental, emotional, physical being. And so as we talk about spiritual inner peace, we know that it affects every part of our lives. So let's look at it. Let's look at one of the things that anxiety does. Psalm 37, verse 8. How does it affect us spiritually? The Bible says, do not fret. It only leads to evil. To fret means to be anxious, to worry. It only leads to evil. Think about it for a second. How much sin have you gotten yourself into when you were worried, anxious, or stressed out? That's called a trigger. And so these things trigger us. And so instead of going to God to get the peace that we so desperately desire, we take matters into our own hands. And we step outside of God's will, and we step into sin because that anxiety just feels like it's too much to bear, too much to handle. And I don't know if I can trust God. I don't know if you can take this away, God. I've been there. I don't know if you can take this, and I don't know if you can take away right now. Yeah, I may pray to you, but you may want me to be in this for a little longer, and I don't want it. And so we really don't trust that God can handle it. Definitely not handle it quickly. And so we figure if we just figure out this problem, right? If we just come up with a solution, if we just do what we feel like needs to be done for the anxiety to stop, then it'll stop. But so often, stepping outside of God's will and stepping into sin only leads to more anxiety. Isaiah 48, 22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. We often find ourselves stuck in this nasty cycle. Our anxiety leads us to sin, and then sin leads to more anxiety, which then leads to more sin. It's a nasty cycle that results in spending eternity in a reality void of peace. That reality is called hell. There's no peace in hell. And I know it's a nasty cycle because, like I said, I've been there before. And I know that I'm not the only one that has been there before. In fact, there are so many hearts around us engulfed in anxiety, worry, despair, depression. Here, today, this morning, we've already experienced those things. But the question I ask myself is, if we know this is all going on around us, why don't we as Christians more often offer peace as we share our faith? As we reach out to people and try to help them to know God, what we know they're suffering. What, I mean, do you find yourself saying, hey, you know, Jesus, he can be your peace. Like, with how anxious our world is, this should be like our sharpest evangelism tool. You want peace? I got that. I got it. It's called Jesus. Amen. So why don't we offer inner peace to those who are suffering? Isn't even the gospel described as the gospel of peace? I think maybe it's because even us as Christians, peace can be so elusive. It can be so fleeting. And so in order to break out of that nasty cycle, we need a breakthrough. So how? How do we experience peace on earth, peace in our own lives, and even an eternal peace? How do we help others experience that same type of peace? Well, I'm going to give you four keys today. Four keys to breakthrough peace. And for those of you who went to our men's retreat last year, we read the book called The Way of the Warrior, and he had a whole chapter talking about peace. And so some of that I'm going to share with us this morning. Number one, breakthrough peace starts with the fact that we have to know Christ and what he offers. We have to know Christ and what he offers. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6, we read one of the prophecies about Jesus, the coming Messiah. And this is how the prophet Isaiah described the coming Son of God. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Amen. And so this Prince of Peace would provide a government or a kingdom with unending greatness. And he would provide a peace with unending greatness. If he did not establish peace, he could not be the Messiah. Now, the Jews were looking for one thing. They had one thing in mind. They had a physical kingdom, a physical government with a physical peace. But God had in mind something far greater. Something of unending greatness. A spiritual kingdom with endless peace. And not just eternal as in when we go to heaven. No, starting now and forevermore. Amen? Amen. So what does this Prince of Peace say when he comes to earth? In John chapter 14, the Prince of Peace is spending time with his disciples. He understands that he's about to be crucified on the cross, and it's going to be the most horrific thing that he would have to go through. And so in John chapter 14, in verse 27, during this last time that he gets with his boys, with his friends, with the 12 guys that have been with him for 3+ years, he says this: "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And so in that culture, like in ours, people would say peace as a form of saying goodbye. Peace. I'll holler at you. Peace. This word is translated as shalom, a form of saying goodbye. And the priest, Prince of Peace, was making sure his disciples knew that he wasn't just talking. He wasn't just saying, like, peace, goodbye. The Prince of Peace was giving them his peace. It meant something different. This perfect peace was going to come directly from the source of peace. The Prince of Peace is the embodiment of peace. He is peace with flesh and bones. So we got to know Christ, the Prince of Peace, and what he offers. And then he says, because I am giving you my peace, I command you, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Some of the greatest enemies of inner peace are worry and fear. You ever think about how worry is an act of faith? Worry projects a negative future. It's a deep-seated belief in the worst case scenario. It's a projected reality that hasn't happened yet, which means that it's no reality at all. And so if it is not real, then it is nothing. And so in reality, we are worried about it's something to us because it feels so real. We've already put so much faith into it. What if we were able to use that same energy and creativity to project a positive future? That's called hope. Amen. It takes a lot of creativity to be fearful. The stuff we think about that could happen, I mean, it's movie type stuff. And then when we try to think about something good, we can't think it's nothing good. Can we just redirect all that energy for hope? Because that's what it's called. That's called hope. Peace of mind, let me tell you, is not about certainty. It's not about being certain, like knowing the future in that sense, right? We know faith is being sure of what you hope for, right? But peace of mind is not about certainty. It's about hope-filled mystery. Right. Amen. A mystery that says, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited about the possibilities because God is in control. I got the Prince of Peace on my side. And so Jesus says, I don't give to you as the world gives this peace. The peace that the Prince offers is different from the peace that the world offers. And it will be given to us in a different way than the world gives us peace. So the world offers an artificial peace, an incomplete peace, a fraudulent peace. And they often come in images like this. Man, I started with that one because that's my place of peace. A hammock on a tree over the wall. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. Just put me there and I will be at peace, God. I can't wait for my summer vacation. I'm counting down the days. Because once I get there, I know I'm worried, anxious, I'm struggling now. But once I get there, I'll be good to go. And then you get there. And you're still struggling because you're upset because they didn't get you the room that you wanted. Then you go up there and it's under construction. And then it's like, wait, hold up. The pictures, Then you go up there and then you want that peace. This happened to me recently. And then I'm like, man, I got this little cabana. I start laying out. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to spend some great time with God. It was over New Year's. This family comes up. It's like 8 kids. I'm like, why? I just wanted to read. I just had in my mind it was going to be this time of peace. I was going to get ready for 2020. And they want to throw the football. They want to be cussing. They want to be fighting about whose tank top is who. You got my tank top? I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to go by the ocean. I'm just going to walk out here. In and of itself, that's not going to provide peace. And let me tell you another thing. When Satan knows that you're going to be going to a place of peace, he's going to attack. What's another type of peace the world offers? Woo! If I could just blaze, man, I'll be good. Man, I'm not even going to embarrass myself with all the language that I use when I smoked weed because I know we don't use that anymore, like ganja or, you know, you know what I mean? Like that. You remember Dr. Jackson, you know, you ain't always a Christian, you know all that stuff. You know, roll up the blunt. I got five on it. There's songs about it. Man, if I could just, man, I used to walk around my house like, if I just find a roach. Well, a roach. A roach is like the, and not a real roach. It's like the, you guys, y'all really know what I'm talking about. Okay, hey. If I could just, I'll burn my fingers for that roach, bud. Like, Okay. That's why them brothers had them long nails. Boy. Brothers with long nails and dark lips, boy. What else? Pills. Xannies, Valium, man. If you want it, you can get it. Percocet, boy, if you want it, you can get it right now, right? Or alcohol, right? We just, man, just pop the bottle open. Man, if I could just get a little, man, I'll be good just to relax. I'm just, man, this is going to be my place of peace. Give me a glass of wine. This is my place of peace. We go to all these. What else do we have? Food. Food is real. Food, this comfort, the comfort that food provides. And I mean, I put a funny picture up there, but I don't want to make light of that challenge for us. But I feel, I saw Homer, I'm like, that's how we get, like, we want food to provide us for something, and then we look miserable afterwards. Right? And then we know we shouldn't have ate all that, then we feel guilty, then it gets even worse, the anxiety, and not to mention all the eating disorders, right? What's another one? Money. Mr. Kripke, yeah. Man, if I can just get a certain amount of money, I will be at peace. And then we feel justified. I'm worried. What? Because we start arguing in our marriages, and you feel justified. Well, we don't got the money we need. It's your fault. We don't got the money. You're not supporting. You're not providing. What's going on? Oh, you want me to start working? Oh, what do you want me to do? I mean, and then you feel when you're struggling financially, we can feel justified to do a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. The world offers a peace that comes when we no longer have anything to be stressed out about. The world says once your life is void of trouble, then you'll have peace. And so let's get away from all the trouble. But the Prince of Peace doesn't offer a journey to nothingness. Instead, he offers a journey to fullness. Amen. The world also offers a peace that's birthed out of a perception of control. If we can only control the world around us, control our finances, our relationships, our children, our safety, our children's safety, our health, our children's health, that's when we can be at peace. Instead of trusting God to be our strong tower, we create our own strong towers, our own fortresses to protect us from all the danger and all the everything else, grief, heartache, disappointment, which leads me to my second point. We got to take and relinquish control. We have to take and relinquish control. Both of those. And this is what I mean by that. Anxiety comes when we try to control things that are out of our control. Peace comes when we stop trying to control the world around us and instead take responsibility for the world within us. Because while we can't control our circumstances, we can control our perspective. I put this little chart up there just to give us a few examples, right? While we can't control the actions of others, we can control the choices we make, including how we respond to the actions of others, right? While we can't control the outcome, we can't control the process. Now, here's the thing about Satan. He wants us to think that we can control the world around us and that we cannot control the world within us. And so he wants us to be passive about our own perspective, character, our own choices, while we fight to control our circumstances, the people around us, and our outcomes. Now, in order to do all this controlling, we got to know what's going on, right? We have to know the things we're trying to control. And so we try to know everything. We research everything, all possible outcomes. We are over-informed. And so instead of pursuing an unending peace, we pursue an unending amount of knowledge that we hope will help us control outcomes and therefore provide peace of mind. What do I mean? We have unlimited real-time access to everything all the time, to what's going on in the world around us. The notifications I get from CNN, I'm like, why would you send me that? Like, what does, I don't want to disrespect anybody, I'm just saying, what does something happening in a remote town of Malaysia have to do with me? We eat it all up. We eat it all up. We got to know what's going on. I don't need to know everything that's going on. It's hard enough for me to know what's going on in my house. The more we know, the more power we have. Knowledge is power, right? That's what's been told to us all of our lives, y'all. Knowledge is power, right? We want to know the world around us. Often we don't even have a clue what's going on within us. We could talk about all the issues, all the politics, where the fight was last night, the caucuses were happening. Man, we could tell you, well, how you feeling, bro? Man, I don't even know. I just feel some type of way. Some type of way. How you know everything else except for what you're supposed to know about yourself? Can we start on the inside and then work our way out? Amen. We have unlimited real-time access to our bank accounts. Every purchase. Ding! What did he buy this time? And that's why some of us got them secret accounts. Ooh! Real-time, unlimited access. Everything that's going on financially, everything that's going on in our investments. The market dropped by 1%. Okay, I'm not taking no money. This is my 401k. Like, tell me 30 years from now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to know all that. We have unlimited real-time access to everything going on at home. Cameras on our doorbells. Because we just got to know what the Amazon people are doing. We got to know what... I see them commercials like... I'm like, just leave the package, bro. Like, you don't need to say hi. You don't... Cameras in our home, so we got to know what our pets are doing. What are they doing? This ain't the movies. They ain't walking around high-fiving each other. They're just being pets. They're probably sleeping, waiting by the door. Like, man, cameras in our child's cribs. We got to know what they're doing in their crib. Let me tell you what they're doing. Sleeping, pooping, crying. That's it. That's it, y'all. We sit up there, night vision, our babies. You staying up night? I promise you, they need something, they'll let you know. I promise you. We have unlimited real-time access to people, to our children, right? We got to give them phones, so we got to know where they're at. Listen, like, there was a time when kids went to school, and it was okay. They came back. Now, in all reality, there have been times when there have been shootings in school. We understand all that, but that all that is, it, stuff happened before then too. Like, we cannot control, you can't control it. But we want to control it, so we give them phones, and they better answer when we call. But we giving them the phone for them to answer our phone calls. Now, they're on the phone all the time, but when we call, they don't answer. I'm paying your phone bill so I can get in contact with you. Not so you can be on Snapchat and TikTok. Right? So we get frustrated because we can't contact somebody at the very moment we want them. I'm talking to college kids. They're breaking up over this. Because he didn't respond to her text within 10 minutes. And then she saw that he was doing something else on Snapchat. So it was like, oh, you got time to do that, but that's too much knowledge. That's too much. You know, the problem is our phones are way too close to being the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Say that one again, brother.
Our phones are way too close to becoming the Holy Spirit in our lives, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Let me tell you something. Our minds and our hearts are not built to handle this, to be omniscient. That's God. We're not built that way. Because the more we know, the more there is to fear, the more there is to worry about. We can't handle it, but God can. Amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you, peace does not come because you finally have control over your life. Peace comes when you no longer need control. The path of peace comes not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Here's how Isaiah described it, the path of peace, path toward peace, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. What can we handle? What we think about. We can handle. Our minds need to be those whose minds are steadfast. God gives us control over what we think. Now, we have some crazy thoughts, but he tells us, hey, train yourself to be godly. He says in Philippians 4, hey, whatever is noble, pure, admirable, think about those things. God tells us what to think about because he knows we can choose to think about the right things, but it takes training. It takes training. You know, we become anxious because we haven't learned to trust. We haven't learned to trust. And I'm not talking about simply trusting that everything will work. You know, people tell you, hey, everything's going to be all right. No, it ain't. Sometimes it's not all right, y'all. Sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes they die. Sometimes the divorce happens. Sometimes you go broke. Like, it's not going to be all right all the time. And yet the Prince of Peace says, even in the midst of trouble, that's the type of peace I can offer you. That's the type of peace I can offer you. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, I get so mad at myself when I get shocked by trouble. Like, why do I get surprised that I have trouble? Jesus tells us, you will have trouble. Some of us, we just want it so badly, especially after a time of peace. I just want it to be there forever, like with no problems. Like, oh, if I can have a little bit of peace, I can have this type of void of problems peace, then I can have it forever. And it's just not that way. We actually get mad at God when there is trouble. Like we didn't know it was coming. Like there's an unmet expectation. It's like getting married to somebody and they tell you, I don't cook. You go on your honeymoon, okay, y'all eating out at the resort, okay. You come back, first night, they don't cook. Okay, I'll throw something together, baby. Second night, they don't cook. Third night, they don't go, wait, honey, you want to help me on the kitchen? Babe, I told you I don't cook. Jesus tells us you will have trouble. Yeah. But we be like, babe, but why we have trouble though? We got to trust that even when it doesn't work out, God can still use it to work for our good.
Amen.
To help us become like the Prince of Peace, to help us make it to heaven. Because even though if the worst case scenario happens on this earth, we still, as Christians, have eternity to look forward to.
Amen. Amen.
The best is yet to come, always. The best is always yet to come for Christians. That's the type of trust. That's what Jesus says, the Prince of Peace says when he says, I have overcome the world. Number three, identify your anxieties and give them away. Identify your anxieties and give them away. Practically, this is what I have to do. This is what I'm learning to do. This is something I've been working on for the last, all my life, but really for the last couple years. Stop and ask yourself, why do I feel anxious? In the moment, when our heart starts racing a little bit, when we start getting a little flustered, we find ourselves snapping at somebody for no reason. It's like, wait, what's going on with me? What's going on? Why am I anxious right now? So the question for you is, what steals your peace? What steals your peace? For me, what steals my peace? There are a few things. I'm not going to do what I did a few weeks ago and go through an extended list. Listen, What causes me the most anxiety? My to-do list. I have a list of things that need to get done. And I keep thinking about that list. And I'm like, if I can get this done, then I will have peace. But guess what? Then I got to write something else. There's always more to do. Anything with a deadline causes me anxiety. This sermon on peace caused me anxiety. Think about that, y'all. I'm supposed to be preaching on peace. I'm anxious about this sermon on peace. Lord, why am I anxious? Why? Because I wanted to help people. I wanted to be God's words. I wanted to, God, and then I just had to, man, I have to know that, though. What else? Obstacles to my desired future. Whenever there's a whenever I want something, and then there's an obstacle to the thing I want, I get anxious, right? My ambition makes me anxious. Why? Because there's things I want that I don't have. I may never have. That I may never have. You know what else makes me anxious? Unresolved conflict. For me, unresolved conflict, I struggle. When I'm not at peace with somebody else, or even knowing they're not at peace with me, when I'm like, I ain't doing nothing, I struggle with that. I really struggle with that. When others in the church are not at peace with y'all, when y'all got issues, I get anxious. And I'm like, they gonna burn this whole thing down because they mad at each other. They gonna burn it down. I'm like, this whole thing's gonna go up in flames because they cannot get along. Pray for me. What steals your peace? It's usually consistent for me. Like, that's what I've learned. Who steals your peace? Who steals your peace? I think we are way too passive about our relationships. Now, let me tell you, there's plenty of people we're stuck with. Physical family, we stuck with them. If you're a teacher, you stuck with them kids. If you want to work at a certain place, for the most part, if you're working at that place, you're stuck with your coworkers. If you want to work there, right? You just stuck. Like, there's plenty of people we're stuck with. Your fellow students in class, you're stuck with. Your church family, you're stuck with. Well, kind of. Because we really just leave whenever we got issues. And so I've learned that, man, we should choose our friends wisely. One, we got to think about, okay, who's stealing my peace? Whenever I get around them, am I leaving more peaceful or more anxious? And why keep hanging around them? Why? There's got to be healthy boundaries. Amen. Healthy boundaries to our relationships. Amen. And then I'm going to tell you this. Nobody's perfect. So there's always going to be some sort of tension in relationships. But what I'm talking about is over and over again, if that's the pattern of your relationship, you may have to have some healthy boundaries. And then maybe it's not them. Maybe it's you. Because we quick to talk about them, but maybe you're the one that's causing anxiety. So what do we do with those anxieties? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Remember, I told you what to do with these anxieties, right? You gotta identify and then relinquish, right? So what do we do with them? Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the whole world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. True humility is about the fact that you give your anxieties to God. It is very prideful to think you can handle it on your own. We learn that once we identify them, we got to give them to God. Why? Because if we don't give them to God, they will determine the outcomes to our spiritual battles. This is what I learned. When I'm anxious, it's really hard for me to be self-controlled and alert. I'm not ready for a battle. I'm anxious. I'm struggling. I'm not ready. If I'm not self-controlled and alert, then I'm going to have a really hard time resisting the enemy, the roaring lion. I mean, even the roaring lion is an image of fear. So how are we gonna resist that, right? I'm gonna have a really hard time then standing firm while the enemy is roaring in my face. And so God says, listen, just start off with being humble, understanding you can't do it on your own. So give them to me. I can handle them. Then you'll be more equipped to fight the spiritual battles because Satan is coming. Casting our cares means we throw them off. Throw them off. And my advice, sometimes those cares are so big, we got to use two hands. Amen. We got to pray, y'all. That's what it means. I literally, I'm like, what do I feel this way? What am I feeling? Okay, God, you got it. I give them, I'm like, God, you take them. Why? Because I know you are, like, trustworthy, powerful enough to handle it, and I know you care for me. Yeah. Here, take them throughout the day. Take them, God. What is it? Take them. This has been my secret weapon. Hopefully you can use it too. Lastly, number four, we got to fight and surrender for peace. Fight and surrender for peace. Peace is not for the passive. It has to be fought for. The Prince of Peace fought for our peace. He shed blood for our peace. Colossians 1:19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus Christ, in the Prince of Peace, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things down heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The Prince of Peace took upon himself all the violence of the world. He went to war so that he could bring all of the world his peace. He knew that his path to peace for us would lead him to agony and suffering. In the most violent moment of his life, on that cross, he made the way for us to know peace. Amen. And this is a path of peace. Not that we run from our suffering, not that we shrink back from the sacrifices demanded of us, but in that midst of it, in the middle of it, regardless of what rages around us, we are at peace. But peace can only come when it's fought for. If you choose the way of peace, I like this. This is what the author says. If you choose the way of peace, you will find yourself in a constant struggle and an endless battle. And then for every war that you've bled for and won, there is another war waiting to overtake you. There is no path in this life where you can escape those things that will war against your peace. If you ain't ready to fight, you ain't ready to be at peace. But guess what? The Prince of Peace, he didn't fight against his disciples when they betrayed him. He didn't fight against the Pharisees when they came to arrest him, right? He didn't fight against the Roman soldiers who put him up on that cross. You know what he fought against? The temptation to do his will over God's will. Therein lies the battle for peace. Will we surrender to God's will for our lives? The times I'm most anxious is when I know I'm wrong, but I ain't trying to be right now. And there's that constant war going on because we know what's right. As we close out, Luke 14:31, the Prince of Peace tells this story when he's trying to help people understand what it means to follow him. He says, listen, let me tell you about a story of two kings. Suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming at him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. He says, listen, there's two kings. I'm the king with 20,000. You got 10,000. If you know you're going to lose, you better know if you're against God, you're going to lose. Once you're humble enough to understand that, then you're going to go and send a delegation while you don't even want to get close to that king and that army. Right. And you're going to ask for terms of peace. And guess who gets to set the terms of peace? The king with 20. Right. What would it look like if you got 20,000 and somebody's coming at you with 10, and they're trying to tell you what they're going to do. Listen, you can have my cattle, but I'm going to keep my land. What you mean? I'm going to take it all. In our pride, sometimes we do that. But we can't have peace unless we completely surrender to Christ. Amen. That's the peace, ultimate eternal peace with God that will lead to our inner peace. I tell people all the time, my worst day in the kingdom is better than my best day in the world. And let me tell you why. Because at the end of the day, when I fall asleep, lay my head on that pillow, and I go to sleep, and I'm like, if I don't wake up, I'm good. Boy, you can't buy that type of peace. You can't, man. There is nothing like it. Okay, y'all want to clap. Okay, y'all can clap now. Come on now. It's all right. It's all right. So at this time, we're going to take communion. I'm going to pray for our communion. What I want us to do, I want us to renew our commitment to two things. To fight for peace and surrender for it. Renew our commitment to both fight and surrender for peace with God, with others, and for our peace within. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We are unworthy of you. We're so unworthy of you, God. Please forgive us of our sins, God. We blow it so much, God. We think we're you, God. God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. We need your help. In this day and age, there's just so much to be worried about, to be scared of. God, there's so much that gives us anxiety and stress, God. And God, oftentimes we're just bombarded by those things, and we don't spend enough time with you to fight it. God, I just pray that you'll help us go to you right now, Lord God, right now, God. I pray that we will humble ourselves before you, that right now, we will commit ourselves to fighting for this peace and surrendering for this peace and giving you, as we pray, God, that we're giving you all the anxieties in our hearts, God, all the worries, all the cares, all the concerns, God, knowing that you are powerful enough, you are trustworthy, God, that you are loving, you care for us, you want those things, God, from us so that we can be who you have called us to be, Father God, so we can go out and help other people find this type of peace, Lord God. So as we take this bread, as we take this juice, we're reminded of the battle that Jesus fought for this peace, God. And I pray that it will not be in vain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.